I say this on a Sunday, 16 September 2018. I just want to get the exact time, 18:39. That I do really believe that the Spirit of God has been speaking intensely. And I really do believe that what I'm going to say now, take to heart, take to note, you can write this down, for it's surely coming. There's a great sifting coming to the body of Christ. Even now, as we speak, it's happening. I really do believe there's a sifting coming. There's a fire season. Fire is always the sign of purification. For indeed, our generation shall see the coming of the Lord. He said that you will see me as you see me go up, you will see me likewise coming down on clouds of glory. And we are living in the, I want to say this as blunt as I can, it's going to happen suddenly, that we will be with our Father forever. And we're going to crown Him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We were singing this song, forever He's glorified. And as the body said, the moon and the stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. Amen. When we sang that song, I was reminded of loved ones that passed. Loved ones that has been with the Lord, and He came into my spirit. Don't weep for them. Don't weep for them. Those who saved, you will be reunited soon. You will be reunited soon. You know, people, this is what I want to get to. I can prepare you for tomorrow. It's not good enough. I need to prepare you for eternity. You can live 80 years on earth and die. This is not your final destination. Do somebody hear me in this place? This is not your final destination. I really do believe that those who has died in Christ Jesus is more alive now than they've ever been before. Really, Christians don't die. We just step over into eternity. Oh, hallelujah. I'm speaking to the homesick people. I know the religious people's going to get on me now. Don't say that. No, we're homesick. If you love this world, I know exactly why you can never be homesick. But if you hate this world, oh, come on, somebody. You get homesick. Now, tonight, we're going to continue on the teaching of the anointing. Last Sunday evening, just by the way, the power of God swept through this place. Amen? It was so intense. And I really do believe that we're going to build up on that. But before we're going to get to this, I pray that the Lord will do something with your ears and something with your heart right now. You see, the book of Acts 7:51 says, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ear. You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your forefathers did, you do also. So I really do pray that God will bring forth a touch on your heart, that your heart will be circumcised. Maybe you in this side here, that your ear might be circumcised. What does it mean to have a circumcision of the heart? Is a heart that's open to believe. Because people's got a heart of stones. They don't want to believe no more. Amen? And uncircumcised ears is ears. If your ears is not circumcised, it's ears that doesn't want to hear. You don't want to hear. You don't want to hear the truth. You see, our problem tonight is not doctrine. There's a big fight about doctrine in different churches. It's not about doctrine. It's about truth. You shall know the doctrine. No, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. If you believe it, come on. I said, if you believe it, I want you to give Jesus a shout of praise. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. So what the enemy is doing, the enemy fights truth. The enemy hates truth. For truth touches people. Come on, somebody. Truth changes the hearts of man. Now I want to read you a scripture quickly. In the book of Isaiah 10:27, it says, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away. That his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Now it's the anointing that destroys the yokes. Is that correct? Come on, it's the anointing that destroys it's just the anointing, all right? It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Please say this with me, it's the anointing. No, you can do better than that. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. But did you know that if you study the Hebrew language, it doesn't speak about the anointing oil that destroys the yoke. It translates to the fat will destroy the yoke. In the New International Version speaks about, I want to actually read this to you, I wrote this down, it says, the yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. Okay, maybe you hear me. The yoke shall be destroyed because you have grown so fat. I'm not prophesying over you right now, just by the way. It says the yoke will be destroyed because of the fat. So what happened was an ox would have a yoke on his shoulder. But the Bible speaks about an ox that eats healthy. He stuffs himself up with food. I'm speaking to somebody who's hungry for some bread of life. The scripture says that they eat themselves so full that their necks becomes fat. And because it's so fat, that the yoke that's upon it just is being destroyed just because of the fat. So you need to get fat tonight. I said you need to get fat tonight. Not fat on biltong and burgers, but fat on the bread of life. Amen. So the more you eat spiritually, now this is very important. Please hear me. I always say this, and it's a fact. You become what you sit under. You sit under dead teachings, you are dead. You sit under a lie, that's what you live. But you become what you sit under. So the more you eat, the fatter you become. The fatter you become. Now, the anointing works like a hammer. And please hear me. When you take a hammer and you go against the wall and you knock the wall, most times it's not the first time with the first knock that the wall falls down. It's a continuous beating. Can we just sort out this light, please, George? If we beat the more we beat the wall with the hammer, eventually you see the wall starts to crumble and it falls. This is what happens with the anointing. The more you receive from it, the fatter you become. The fatter you become, the easier the yoke are being destroyed. For it's the anointing, come on. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Now we need the anointing of God back in our lives. We need to understand how the anointing operates. And first of all, I wanna speak to you on something. Tonight I'm gonna touch on three different types of anointing that I wanna teach on. But before we're gonna get to this, it's very important to understand where the anointing comes honor. And honor is something that most people miss, because what you honor, you attract. I can give you an example. If I take my dad as an example, the Lord uses him prophetically in a powerful way. But if somebody doesn't believe in the prophetic move or the prophetic word, and they do not receive a prophet, this is because the Bible says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet, receive a prophet's reward. Amen? So if you don't receive that, you never receive a prophecy. People that don't receive words, most of the times, are people that does not believe that God still speaks to the church. Amen, somebody. Come on, help me out. Now, the very thing that you want, you need to honor. You need to honor. I really do believe most parts of the anointing come through honor. There's things in the spirit that cannot be taught. It can only be caught. You have to catch it. Can I rephrase that? You need to snatch it and say, it's mine. I take it by force. This is what the Bible says. The kingdom suffers by violence, and the violence takes it by force. I need some people that want to be preached to tonight. Come on, I want you to get to the edge of your seat. For God is saying that people will become fat. And the fatter you become, the more the yokes will be destroyed. Oh, come on, the more the yokes will be destroyed. Now, I've heard somebody say to me, you can't study the Bible too much because you will get crazy. Count me in. I want to be nuts. I want to be nuts. Listen, when the Lord saves me, the Lord saved me. I say this publicly. You cannot live like hell and release heaven. Maybe you hear me. You cannot live like hell and release heaven. You can't go to church when you feel like it and think you're going to release heaven. You want to change this world? You need to get into the image of Christ. Now here's the key. This is the key. People say, people don't need to judge. Don't judge me. Come on, don't judge me. You know that? It's a sign everybody knows. Oh, don't judge me. But people don't understand. This is what happens. The presence of God comes in. Wherever the presence of God comes in, there's exposure. So sin comes to the surface. But what people think is, people think that when sin comes to the surface, that the preacher will come to you and tell before the whole church, this is your sin. This is not what God is doing. What God is doing is, when the anointing comes and when the glory of God comes and sin comes to the surface, it's actually the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart and saying, hey, brother, you are supposed to go from glory to glory. Why does the anointing, what does the presence of God do? The presence of God transforms us into the image of His Son. This is why the Holy Spirit brings forth sin in your own life to the forefront. In actual fact, if I tell you, maybe you have to get pride out of the way. I'm not prideful. You've got a problem with pride. The very reason why He said there's no pride is because pride came to the surface. It came to the surface. So the Holy Spirit is the one knocking on your door and say, hey, brother, you've got some pride in your heart. You have to get rid of pride. This is fact. The reason why it comes to the surface is because the Holy Spirit wants to tell you, I want to transform you into the image of Christ, but I cannot transform you as long as you live in that filth. You see, this is what people don't understand. People want to do or want to have what I have, but they don't want to do what I do. It's so easy to criticize somebody's anointing, somebody's lifestyle. Come on, but you're not doing more than they. Amen. Come on, where's the upper room tonight in this place? The most emptiest cans makes the biggest noise. And I always say that when it comes to an anointing, it attracts attack. Is that correct? It attracts attack. If you don't wanna see the attacks, don't be somebody that wants to walk supernaturally with God. Come on, I want to speak to somebody. I was so hungry for the touch of God. And I really do believe that there's people here tonight that's hungry for the touch of God. Or I really do believe with all of my heart, with all of my mind, there's people that are so in love with the Lord, they just want a touch from God. Now, I've been serving the Lord most of my life, and every single day when I wake up, there's a new hunger, there's a new desire. My God, there's a new hunger, a new desire. And I really do believe that one night I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to be used by you. And I went to him like a child, you know, like a child asking for bread. And I say this almost daily. Last night again, I said this. This morning, I said this again. I said, Lord, I pray that you'll use me like the Galileans you've used. I come to you like a child asking for bread. I ask you that you'll use me, that you'll give me the same power that Galilean men had. Come on, who's the Galilean man? The disciples. They walked with power. You see, saints of God, there must be a hunger and a desire in your heart to be formed in His, to be carved into His image. But the Lord doesn't just dope it on somebody because you show up to church once a month. No, it comes to those who's pure and holy, to those who live a sanctified life, to those who say, Lord Jesus, I'm not part of this world. I'm laying everything aside so that you can use me. You need to come, become like a child asking for bread. Oh Lord, would you use me like you used the Galileans? Come on, am I speaking to somebody? You seek the Lord of your whole life and people will criticize that anointing. You see, in the scriptures, you can read in the New Testament, especially with the disciples, the Galileans. The first anointing, I'm not going to teach on these anointings, but if you look at their lives, the first time when they received an anointing was when they received the anointing, people mocked them. People were laughing at them. People were thinking they are nuts, they are crazy. And have you noted, the minute that God starts to anoint you, the first dimension of the anointing, you'll be mocked. In other words, people will speak behind your back, behind closed doors and walls. They will gossip about you. They will speak against what they don't have in their own lives. Because there was a time in your life where you seek God while the rest of the world were out gallivanting. Oh, maybe you hear me this side. There was a time in your life where you laid everything on the altar so that God can use you while the rest of the world were doing something else. So suddenly people start to mock you. Have you seen how this guy dressed, how he preaches? Somebody said to me this morning, a person told them, they don't like how I preach. I said, I'm not preaching for you. I'm preaching for the Master. I pour out myself completely, every ounce of my being, not to, oh, come on. I'm not here to get a like on Facebook. I'm not here to be liked. I'm here to be effective. And the only way that we can be effective is when we walk in that same power that the Master has walked in. Come on. The only way that we can be effective is not to be like this world, but cast out that demons, raise the dead. Come on. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. That's how we are effective. This is how we display the kingdom of God on this earth. Now, you have to be a dead zombie in this place if you don't feel the anointing now. You have to be on a different planet if you don't feel the power of the Holy Ghost rumbling inside of your bones. Come on, you have to be on another planet if you don't feel a shaking in your spirit. They were mocked. You will be mocked. People will always mock you. Oh, he called me Pastor Olvia. It's like it's an insult. Amen. Chips. Amen. Second anointing that they experienced, first of all, they were mocked. Second anointing, threatened. They were threatened. If you don't stop preaching what you're preaching, we're going to kill you. Come on, threaten you. Please take note. Those who threatened them knew the Bible They knew the scriptures. Now it's so quiet. It was not the people of the world that came against them. It was those who knew the scripture. And they were threatening them. Just because they didn't receive that revelation that the disciples received, they were threatened. And thirdly, what I started seeing is they started fearing them. There's three anointing that comes on any person's life. The anointing that they will mock you. Second of all, they will threaten you. Thirdly, they will start to fear you. And I'm getting there at this very moment. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 20. Come on, tonight is the teaching. Is that fine? The Bible says in John chapter 20, verse 22, and when he said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Then it continues. It doesn't stop there. It says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So, here's Jesus. Many people think that the disciples received the Holy Spirit in the upper room the first time. It was not the case. The first time they received the Holy Spirit is when Jesus breathed on them. Receive here the Holy Spirit. That anointing that they received is called a leper's anointing. That leper's anointing means a sinner's anointing, or when you are saved, you are saved. So every person that's saved in this place, you've got that anointing. Oh, come on, somebody. The Bible says that you receive the Holy Spirit as a promise. This is how you know that you are born again, for the Spirit of God lives in you. So Jesus said for the first time, he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. That's the first instance where they received the Holy Spirit. That was one of the first. Now, hear me. Please hear me. It was not the first time they saw the Holy Spirit at work. Because Acts chapter 10 verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So the disciples saw the Holy Spirit in action, but they never had a revelation about him. They never received the anointing until Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. And that's the first anointing that came upon them, as the leprous anointing. You see, this anointing you get when you give your life to Jesus, then the Bible speaks about you as the anointed of God. Come, where's the anointed of God in this place? Lift your hands. Now, if you're the anointed of God, it means that you are the apple of God's eye. He who touches you touches God. Come on, if you are the anointed of God, it means whoever fights you fights God. If you are the anointed of God, it means he who doesn't receive you doesn't receive Christ. Jesus says, don't worry if the world hates you. Please know that the world hated me first. If you are the anointed of God, you will be hated, righted, not often celebrated. That's the first anointing. People get stuck with this anointing. People get stuck in this anointing. I'm saved and that's fine. That's not fine. That's not fine just to be saved. It's not where God's final destination is for your life. I'm saved. I've seen people think that they are 20 years saved. I'm 20 years on the road. You're in the way for 20 years. Let God move. So people are happy. I'm saved. I'm washed and that's it. But you know, there's another dimension of the anointing that God is calling the church to. It's good to be saved. God, I said it's good to be saved. It's good to have people saved going to heaven with you. But there's a dimension where the enemy hates when you walk into. And that's a different dimension of the anointing. Now, every single time you are asking God for a new anointing, this is exactly what happens with a prophetic word. Many people receive prophetic words. If you receive a prophetic word from God, you cannot go back to this world, do whatever you want, and think that God's going to bring the word to pass. No, there's some things that you need to do. Okay. The same thing with the anointing. You want a greater depth of the anointing. I've seen this in my own personal life. The greater the hunger, the easier it becomes to draw from that new anointing. I have seen the Lord putting people in my life, spiritual leaders in my life, spiritual fathers, if we may, that has walked with the Lord for years. And just by honoring them, I've seen what I've attracted. I've seen that the man of God that I allowed to speak into my life, one of them that I allowed to speak into my life, that I just love the anointing on his life, love what God is doing. I, at this very moment, I see the exact same thing that the anointing attracts to his life, the Lord is attracting to my life. Because this is what honor does. Okay, do you hear me at this side? What you honor, you attract. Remember, I always put a great emphasis on this. What you criticize, you'll never have. If you don't understand the move of God, listen, we can take this scripture and build a doctrine on anything. I can give you scripture now and you can give me the same scripture just the way you see it. At the end of the day, brother, we're not going to stand before God with our own opinions. We're going to be judged according to his standards. And his standards is much higher than ours. Am I speaking to the right church in this place? So now you want that new anointing. There comes new challenges. You don't feel, listen, it's not cheap. People want the power of God, but they never want to go through ABC. They want to get to XYZ without going through ABC. You have to know what it means to get down and dirty. Come on, you want the next level of the anointing? It speaks about the priestly anointing. You can read this in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 4. Can I read this to you? I want to ask you to follow this with me. Acts chapter 2 verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is not the first time that they have been introduced to the Holy Spirit now. Come on, come on, come on, somebody. This is now they're in the upper room. They were praying together, waiting on the promise of God. And suddenly, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The first time they received the Holy Spirit upon them. For sanctification, all right? A leprous anointing. The second time they were filled with the Holy Spirit for ministry. So there's people that sits with the leprous anointing, then there's people that cross over to the priestly anointing. The priestly anointing comes upon you for the ministry. Come on, for the work of the ministry. Do you know what happens? And I'm going to get to the kingly one now. But I've seen when it comes to ministry, people, if you want a great display of the anointing of God. Now, I really do believe that people prostitute the anointing of God today. Okay, maybe I'm in the wrong church. If you receive a prophetic word with money attached to it, it's not of God. All right, I'm going to try this side. If somebody want to give you a prophetic word and say, but God will do it in the next 7 days, but you have to drop a $7 note, it's not of God. You cannot buy the giftings of God. I said you cannot buy that anointing of God. It cannot be purchased with money. And yet people attract people to their sex, if I may, by prophesying and prostituting the anointing. You know what? I was standing last night. We were praying here, and somebody prayed over me, but what they prayed over me was exactly to the T what I've asked the Lord during the day. And when a person prayed for me, I heard the Lord clearly say to me, your prayers and your alms, I have taken note of that, as he said to Cornelius. And when the Lord said that to me, because I had a struggle in my spirit, I said to the Lord, now, I'm not one of those who says, Lord, I'm better than that. I'm better than that person. I'm doing more than that person. But what I always say to the Lord, I always remind him, I always say, Lord, please remember, I have given you my young life. I have given you my, and I really do believe this with all my heart. When you get to Jesus one day and you've sacrificed your young life, there's a reward waiting for you. Do you get this? There's a reward waiting for you. God will reward those who have said goodbye to this world, even if it means you're going to stand alone. There's a reward waiting in heaven for you. Can I get an amen in this place? Don't tell me that the person that's 50 years old, he started serving the Lord for the first time in life, died today, he's going to get the same reward as somebody who has sacrificed their whole lives, shaking the nations of the world for Jesus Christ. Even if you have to do it alone, you better get down and dirty. You have to seek the Lord for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I don't care how much you know the Bible. If you know your Bible, but you do not know the Holy Spirit, you have nothing. You're all puffed up, but you know no revelation. You've got no power of God. You cannot tell me you've got the same Holy Spirit as Jesus had, but you live like this world. Come on, you cannot tell me that you've got the same Holy Ghost that moved on Christ Jesus, and you live like this world. You have to be different than the whole world. Have you noticed one thing that's not preached today anymore? I can go on a whole list, but one of those things is the fear of God. People don't preach about the fear of God no more. People don't preach about holy living. People don't preach about holy living. Now, I can say this to you. You can take it. You can spit it out. It's your choice. If you want God to use you, you have to live a holy life. I thank God that I had this response. People are happy about having a holy life. The third anointing that I want to touch on is in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 31. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. That's the kingly anointing that I want to speak about. The word kingly anointing also speaks about dominion or authority. Now, can I get deep with you tonight? You get the leprous anointing. You get saved. So you're saved. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm not going to go into doctrine at this moment. But I just want to hit this off right off the bat. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved. That's a false gospel. That's a gospel of demons. For the book of Hebrews says that if you know the truth and you go back in your old sinful life, you trample the Son's blood underfoot, insulting the Spirit of grace. It says there remain no remission for sin. So let's help you out. If you are saved, what are you saved of? Okay, let's try that again. What are you saved of? You are a murderer. Maybe you were a drug dealer, drug mule. You're an alcoholic. You're a thief. You're a liar. You come before Jesus Christ. He saves you. Jesus said to the rich man, if you want to get saved to heaven, you have to be born again. Born again means that I die. The sinful man dies away. It's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. Can I get an amen? So if I am saved of being a murderer, saved by grace, and I go back and I murder again because I'm under grace, does that mean I'm saved? Saved of what? Why did Christ have to save you if it means you just go back into your own sinful self? Come on. We trample the blood of Christ underfoot. And people think it's just fine. You see, you tell people sin takes them to hell, the church is empty. I tell this church, under the authority of the Holy Ghost, that sin destroys life. It takes people to hell. But thank God for Jesus. Come on, that sanctified you by the blood of the Lamb. You are saved, saved, saved. I would rather lose people than lose the anointing of God upon my life. I'm not standing here tonight to tell you, do whatever you want. I'm here telling you, if you want to see heaven, be holy, for Christ is holy. We want the anointing. This is why we don't see moves of the Spirit of God in South Africa and in the world no more, because we are living like we want to live. My God, there's no fear. There's no fear of God. He's holy. He's holy. Come on, while I'm preaching, it doesn't matter how old, how young you are, death does not ask questions. The enemy wants to take you out. Don't get ready. Live ready. Be ready in season and out of season. I promise you one thing, and I say this before heaven. When I go to bed tonight, if I don't wake up tomorrow morning, do not weep for me. Woo! I'm not lost. I'm not lost. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I refuse to make this gospel message a watered-down gospel message. You want the power of God? You want the power? You want the power? Get back to basics. I have to stop now, because if I'm going to go on, I think people's going to get out of the church right now at the moment. We live like we want to live. We live like this world. And yet we want God to move. First sign of a sinful nature is the presence of God. The gifts can be there. Gifts means nothing. Gifts means nothing. You can have all the gifts of the world. If there's no fruit that you've been with the Lord, that gift means nothing. Absolutely nothing. Do you know what changes a man? The gift. I've seen people around me, close, in my circle around me, who have seen eyeballs popped open, who have seen lame people getting out of wheelchairs, and it didn't change their hearts. It didn't change them. Because it's not by might, it's not by power. But by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The gift doesn't change the man. The presence of God does. The presence of God does. I said the presence of God does. It changes everything. Years ago, Jesus said to me, just get people in my presence. Just get them in my presence. Now, do you know, I know exactly tonight why the devil doesn't like me. Because I'm afraid to his kingdom. I'm not here to play games. We are past that season of playing games. Come on, somebody. And I declare this to you, that no longer would you just be in that leprous anointing where you're just saved and happy. Now I declare this to you, that the Spirit of God will come over you in power. Come on, in power. You will have heavenly visitations in power. If you tell people, you know, last night I spoke to the Lord and the Lord spoke to me. What? The Lord? The Lord speaks to you? Oh, absolutely. Gee, he speaks to me all day, every day. Come on, come on, come on, come on. How long do you take to prepare? Well, my whole life is my preparation. Amen. It didn't take me 10 minutes, 10 hours. No, my whole life, my whole life, my whole life, my preparation season. But I tell you, I've been to that place where the leprous anointing touched my life, and I was so happy that I'm saved, that I forgot that there's more to what we see. There's much more than what we see. I've studied the book of Acts, the whole book of Acts, intensely. And I said to the Lord, we are missing something. Those people saw the outpouring of the Spirit of God. You don't hear me? Where buildings were shaken by the power of God. Buildings, whole buildings were shaken by the power of God. If you read the Bible, Acts chapter 5, you'll see that men died in the presence of God. We missed something. We are so happy with the leprous anointing. You know what, church? Not everything that you see on television is truth. Not everything you see on social media is truth. Come on, come on, come on. Now it speaks about the priestly anointing. The Holy Spirit touched people. And they were used in ministry. Remember Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. For what reason does the Holy Spirit come upon you? It comes upon you to be a witness. A witness. This is why the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But now it speaks about, suddenly they were speaking the word of God with boldness. That's a kingly anointing. Now, the first anointing we all know is when you get saved. The second anointing we know is when God starts to use your ministry. But then there's a kingly anointing. Anointing of dominion and authority. Now, I really do believe this, and please take note of what I'm saying. There comes a time in your life where that kingly anointing comes upon you, and God starts to use you, and you get authority in the Spirit, because this is really what it is. It's authority in the Spirit. I've heard somebody come to me and called me and said, listen, Vessel, something strange happened today. And I said to them, what was wrong? I preached in this person's church. And he said, the person said to me, now, they were confronted with a woman that was demon-possessed. And the person said to me, the preacher said, this woman was demon-possessed, and she was crawling against the walls and falling down on the ground, and she's got power, strength that they've never seen before. And she said, this lady laughed at them, or the spirit of the demonic power that's in this woman started speaking to them and mocking them. And she's, the preacher said to me that the demon is saying that most of you guys are too weak to cast me out. Most of you. This woman said that I know all of you. Now this is the demon speaking in her. I know how you pray. I know what life you are living. You can't cast me out. You're not enough people. She said, so she thought to herself, okay, she's going to get a knife. Going to run to the kitchen. They got a knife and they were cutting things in the spirit, they said. They want to do a prophetic act and cut in the spirit. And as they were cutting, the demon laughed at them even more and said, you're coming to me with a knife. I'm going to kill you with your own knife. With your own knife. And she said, now, everybody in that room was thinking, what do we do next? What do we do next? And they said, this woman with the demonic powers inside of her went ballistic. Put around chairs, went crazy. And she said, suddenly she saw my face. And she said, if you don't come out, I'm going to call somebody that can cast you out. And she said, the demon, this is what the woman said to my mother. She said, I've never seen something like this in my life. This demon laughed at me and said, I know most preachers. I know what Christians are doing behind the scenes. There's not one strong enough. And she said, you're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. And she said, the demon said, who's this person you're going to call? And she said, I'm going to call Vessel. And do you know what she said? She said, the most strangest thing happened. She said, the demon said to her, don't call him. I know him. And I will come out. She said, from that moment, the woman fell to the ground. Demon spirits came out. And she said, what? Why did it happen? I said to her, listen. And I want to say this publicly. The demon didn't come out because she said she knew the name of vessel. The name of vessel means nothing. But the demonic realm knows authority. The demonic realm knows dominion. Come on, the demonic realm knows who's praying and who's playing. The demonic realm knows. This is why when a demon saw Jesus, they cried out and said, "You are the Son of God." Why? Because they saw him praying. Woo! Come on. They saw the power of God on him. You get an authority and a dominion. And you know what happens now? Suddenly you draw or you attract things to your life. Now somebody needs to hear me now. You attract some things to your life. For the gift makes room for you. It opens doors for you. My God, I feel the fire of God on me. I said, I feel the fire of God on me. So you feel, you see in your spirit, and you see it in the natural. Doors start to open up. And people come to you. And they want to buy the gift upon your life. They will attach money to it. Because one of the things that the anointing does, it draws finances. But, I'm not, listen, please hear me. It draws finances that the enemy brings forth. Because it's a snare. You fall for the snare, he destroys you. And this is what happens. This is what happens. I feel a word of God in my life. I just saw the number 100, and I just see for the next 100 days, you have to sow this amount of money for the next 100 days, and you're going to see you now. So I heard a guy saying this publicly. Publicly, he said, "Lady, you're watching me right now. You're dying of cancer, and the only thing that you've got left in your bank account is $1,000. But the Lord is saying you better sow that $1,000 in order for him to heal you. Otherwise, you're going to die." That's what he said. I wanted to throw my television. He says, "Come. Drink and eat, all those who have no money." So suddenly it becomes figures, it's money. Money is not bad. Jesus doesn't mind you having money. Jesus minds money having you. So we attract stuff. Suddenly you think, and this is a free of charge. This is a vessel to brain note. The anointing becomes so strong in your life. You have dominion. Do you know what the devil does? He sends a woman. Okay, maybe you. Yes. He sends a guy. Come on, you're a preacher. And all what they do, they flay you. Say flay you. This is why my team knows. Everybody that knows me knows when I deal with somebody of the opposite sex, I never deal alone. You never deal alone. You can be upright. The Lord can know your heart, and the enemy wants to destroy you. And one, do you know what the world wants? Just one story of a preacher. Remember I told you the story about one of my crazy preacher friends? I love this guy, he's as short as me. Energetic. And he said he prayed to the Lord. He said, "Lord, I'm praying for a suit that I saw in a suit shop. And the shop or the suit, the color of the suit is canary yellow. And he says, to top it all off, there's canary yellow shoes, and he wants the shoes too. So he's praying for the canary yellow suit and the shoes. And he says, night after night, he says, "Lord, you know, I labor for you. I need some new clothes." And somebody called him and said, "Listen, the Lord says I must bless you with a suit." And he was so excited. He took them to the shop with the canary yellow suit. So he bought the canary yellow suit. And he says, Sunday come, he couldn't wait to put it on. He says to me, he says, "Listen, I wanted to have it on a Sunday because Saturday people push out. So the Sunday, I said, so the bright yellow will confuse them a bit." So he says he couldn't wait. He couldn't wait with this canary yellow suit. He says, but now everybody's like, "Jeez, wow, Pastor, look at your suit." And he's just chuffed with his suit. It's a new suit. God gave it to him. He said, there's a tallish guy that came to the service late. He says, and as the guy was walking in, he's busy preaching, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit stepped in and he said, "That guy is praying for a suit." And he said, "Get behind me, Satan. It's my suit." And he says, the guy sat, and he was preaching. He says, and something draws him to that man the whole time. And he says, the Lord said to him, "This guy needs a suit." He said, "Oh Lord, I'm so short. This guy's so tall. My suit will never fit this guy." And he said, the Lord said to him, "Ask him, what's your size of your jacket?" He said, "Lord, I'll prove it to you." He walked to the guy. He says, "Listen, sir, what's the size of your jacket?" He says, "A 32. He says, "This can't be. I'm a 32. He says, no, Lord, if this is real, his pants must fit. He says, what size is your pants? He told him the size of pants is exactly the one he's got on. He says, Lord, this guy is taller than me. How can he fit in the same pants? He says, Lord, this can't be. He says, your shoes or your feet must be bigger than mine. What size do you wear? He says, a size 8. He says, I've got a size 8. The Lord says, I want you to give him your whole suit and your shoes. It's his. He says, this is the first day with his canary yellow suit. He says, Lord, people think this thing is ugly. And he said, sir, are you praying for a suit? He says, the man turned, he said, I was praying for a canary yellow one. And he said, all right, after the service, I'll give you my suit. He said, so he gave his suit. He said, the Lord is my witness, I gave him my suit. He said, I had to drive home in my underwear. He says, the whole way to his house, he's praying, Lord, please, don't let me get a flat wheel. He says, imagine the police. Hello, sir, what job are you doing? I'm a pastor. He says, if the newspaper gets the headlines, pastor is running in his underwear in the middle of the street. Amen? The end of it. This is why. Let's just quickly continue this. And he says, so Monday morning, he went back to the Lord. He prayed and he said, oh, well, Lord, I gave my canary yellow suit. And he says, Monday, somebody called him. Somebody said to him to meet him at church, got to church. He said, the Lord says, I must buy you 10 suits, 10 pairs of shoes. He says, the first suit he bought was his canary yellow one. Got it back and he bought, and the Lord gave it back to him. So why did I mention this? Because it's exactly that. The world wants one story to destroy what God has placed upon your life. This is why with the anointing, that with the dominion, this kingly anointing, it's an anointing that if you live in sin, if this is an anointing where God starts to use you, you see blind eyes opening up, you prophesy accurately, you see the deaf and the dead, and you see the miraculous visitations of God Almighty, and suddenly you start to live in sin, you start with a new doctrine, something that's itching to ears. Do you know what happens? Suddenly sickness comes and it grips your life. Oh, you don't hear this. Suddenly the anointing turns against you as an enemy and it fights you. Suddenly the anointing is your worst nightmare. Because at that dimension of what you have seen, the anointing is so precious that you need to guard it with all of your heart. Who hears what I'm saying in this place? Because this is what the enemy comes to do. He comes to steal and destroy. Listen, you've got an authority in this level of anointing, such an authority. This is why Jesus didn't have to go to that man's house. He spoke a word. Just speak a word and my servant will be healed. This is why you can lay hands on handkerchiefs and aprons and send it out and people can get healed. Why? For the anointing that God has placed upon your life. Come, I'm speaking to you right now. This is why you have to protect the anointing. Do not prostitute the anointing. Do not allow gimmicks to touch your life. You can go on to YouTube now. And you know, unfortunately, for the guys that's preaching the truth and walking the road, it seems like everybody believes that all preachers are bad. Because you get a few bad apples or rotten apples. Am I speaking to the right crowd? Hallelujah. So they prostitute the anointing. It's a money thing. So people want what you've got, but they don't want to do what you do. Then what they'd rather do is they speak against you because they're afraid they're going to lose people. Oh, come on. They're afraid they're going to lose their likes on Facebook. And now they don't want to do what you do. They rather speak against you. And what they think is when they speak against you, they think that you're going to stop doing what you're doing. It is ammo, Church of God. It is ammo when people and fiery darts comes against you. It's ammo. Come on, it's ammo. It's fuel to the fire. The more the enemy wants to take you out, the more you want to do for God. I'm not going to stand before him one day with empty hands. You know, I'm so afraid of standing before him one day and he can ask me, Vessel, what did you do? Come on, what did you do? What did you do with the anointing that I've given you? Now, if you think about Elijah, can I speak about Elijah quickly? When I get to heaven, I want to speak to Elijah. Amen. Oh, I want to speak to that man. That man was crazy. Crazy faith. Thinking about Elijah tonight calling fire down from heaven. Brother, you need to be anointed to call fire down from heaven. You need to be anointed to declare there's no rain coming when there's not a cloud in the sky. You need to be faithful and anointed to declare there's rain coming when there's no clouds in the sky. You need to be anointed. Come on somebody, to kill the prophets of Baal. You need to be anointed. So the Bible speaks about three things that Elijah came across: the drought, fire, and rain. Where's my brother George? Can I have you on stage, brother George? Don't you just love Brother George? He's my twin brother, for those of you who didn't know. So there's three things that Elijah came across. The drought. Please say with me, the drought. The fire. And the rain. Come on, say this again. The drought. The fire. And the rain. When there's a great anointing that comes upon your life, there will always be a drought. The drought is to test you. It's a testing season. Hallelujah. It's a testing season for the anointing. Have you quickly now, I want to ask you by the raising of your hands, who can honestly say, Wessel, it feels most times in my Christian walk that I'm in a desert. It's a season where you don't hear God speak. Come on, lift those hands, be honest. It's a season where it feels like there's a drought. You struggle to pray. Come on, you struggle to press through, press in. It's a drought. Elijah faced a drought. It's a testing season. A drought always comes to test you, but also to announce a new season. You see, a drought can only last until God steps in. A drought is not forever. Many people think because you're in a drought that God do not know about you. No, you're in a drought to see what's in your heart. God doesn't see what's in a man's heart when your bank is full. God sees what's in a man's heart when you've got nothing. When you're down and out, when people leave your life, when people criticize you, when people speak against you. Come on, when your name is on YouTube as a false teacher. Come on, when you're, oh, I'm speaking to somebody right now. When people hate you for the gospel's sake and you're in that drought, that's when God sees what's in your heart. When you don't have a car, but you still serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. Do you know what I tell you when you know what's in a person's heart? When you don't have a car, but not manipulate people. All right, let's write this side. You love the Lord with all of your might and you still serve Him. Go through a drought, a season of toughness, but the drought tests you. Then the Bible says after the drought, read it, suddenly Elijah needed fire from heaven. And the Bible says he got fire from heaven. But the fire is to purify you. You need to go through the fire. Come on, you are asking me, Vesa, I want to have a greater anointing on my life. Drought, fire, fires, purification. Purification. You know what I do every day of my life? Every day. I ask the Lord. I said, Lord, the scripture says that you are the one who searches all things, even the depths of a man's heart. Please show me what's in my heart that you hate. Please show me, Lord, what's in my heart that you don't agree and don't receive. Please show it that I can kill it and get it out of my life. Every single day of my life, I do that. Because this is what happens with the fire. No man can have the fire of God upon their lives without being purified. Come, I'm speaking to the upper room who has experienced the fire of God. Brother Lee, you've experienced the fire of God before. Rainer, you've experienced the fire. Erwin, you've experienced the fire. It's a purification. You experience that fire. It comes upon you. And suddenly you want more. You want more. You're no longer satisfied. You want more. You want more. I want you to lift your hands very quickly before I'm going to end. You're going to feel a fire running from your hands, the top of your head, down to the soles of your feet. Come on, right now, lift those hands. Father, I thank you. Send that fire, that purification fire, the refiner's fire. Diamonds with charcoal first. It goes through tremendous heat. I'm speaking to somebody that's going through tremendous heat tonight. You qualify for the anointing. You see, after you've been through the drought and you've been through the fire, then the Bible speaks, then comes the rain. So the drought tests you. The fire purifies you, but the rain blesses you. If you stand before the Lord, and somebody needs to hear me tonight, you are not what people label you to be. You are not people's opinions. You are what God says you are. And God knows the heart and He knows what's on the inside of you. Somebody needs to hear this message. God knows exactly what's in your heart. You've been tested through the drought. Have you noticed that the drought is most of the times it's the loneliest place in your life? It seems like everything is happening for people around you, but yet the Lord has forgotten about you and your family. This is the way you feel. Come on, I'm speaking to you about a drought where you feel like you have, are being exposed to the greatest test of your life. Just by saying this, I'm seeing tears flowing all over this place. This is the Lord working. You've been through some dry seasons. And you've stood the test of time. You had nothing going on for you but your faith. You see, Paul says, you have to fight the good fight of faith. Faith is a fight. It's a fight. And suddenly you're exposed to tremendous heat all over. David said this. He said, oh Lord, look how they increase. Those who's against me, those who seek my life, those who speak bad about me, Lord, they increase all over. But if they hate you, you are in good, good, very, 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 very good standing with the Lord. You are in very good company. For they hated Jesus Christ. But the fire is not there to kill you, it's there to purify you. It's a purification. You see, we in our own lives have to come to that place where we say, Lord, show me what's in my heart. The very thing that you hate, would you take it out and kill it, Lord? Come on, I want to ask you again, just lift those hands to Him. There's such a holy presence of God. Then comes the rain. The blessing. What I tell you. Sometimes it's years. We are not in this because this is our job. This is our calling. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are called for a time as this. This is not something we get a salary from. This is something that we do because we love the Lord. We love the work of the gospel. But with that word comes the drought, the fire, and the rain. I'm speaking to you tonight. It's time to cross over from that leprous anointing. It's time to cross over to that priestly anointing. You see, the thing in Acts, what stands out, this is the great key. They were hungry people, hungry for a move of God. The Bible says every day the Holy Spirit added to the church. They were not easily offended. They were just surrendered. Not offended. Surrendered. Hungry after His righteousness and after His touch. The Bible says they came together in one accord, praying together. And suddenly the Holy Spirit was poured out. The scripture says it came like a sound from heaven. It's like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. On each of them was set tongues of fire. They started speaking in other tongues. And the Lord started using them. As they went out, they started seeing God perform signs, wonders, and miracles through them. The Bible says these men were ridiculed, but there came a time where they have acknowledged that these men, they've been with Jesus. Come on, let this be your testimony. That man has been with Jesus. That man has been with Jesus. Then comes the great responsibility of the kingly anointing. Where the Lord is giving you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose shall be loosed in heaven. I want to ask you this. I hardly ask this, but I want to ask you the utmost respect for the Holy Spirit tonight in this place. The utmost respect. If you don't respect Him, I pray for you, brother. I want to ask you the utmost respect for Him tonight in this place. He's more important than any person tonight. With that kingly anointing, you need to guard that anointing. You have to take care of it. You have to nurture the anointing. Right teaching. Don't be corrupted with doctrines of demons, as Paul says. Right teaching. Get into the word. Get into the seeking part. Start to honor. Where the Lord has placed you, start to draw and siphon. Seek somebody that does what you want to do and do it with them. I want to ask the whole church to stand to their feet right now. The anointing is not for show. It's not for an emphasis on man, but it's to destroy the yokes. You see, the Lord gave me a word and He says, my people will become fat. Because of that fatness, every yoke shall be destroyed. I want to say this to you as I hear this in the Spirit. You will eat and you will eat and you will eat of the Word. You shall become fat. The yoke shall not be just destroyed. I see the yoke being crushed in all directions. A sudden crushing and giving way of yokes that has been placed upon your life. I declared that this morning that the Holy Spirit says that there will come a season where I really do believe it's now, where there will be a deep working of the Holy Spirit. If you would just allow Him right now in this place to come and fill you, to change you, even say, Lord, bring to the surface what you want me to get rid of. You see, we all are sinners, the Bible says, and we are in need of a Savior. We can't just be good in our own eyes. Get before His throne right now. Say, Lord, I want to ask you tonight. I want to ask the whole worship team, if you can, just get on the stage for me. Just surrender. Here I am, Lord. I want to ask you this. Come before Him as a child, asking for bread. I say, Lord, use me. Like if you use the Galileans. Use me like if you use Peter, Lord. Use me in a supernatural dimension. Are you happy with your leprous anointing? You say, Lord, how bless me tonight with a priestly anointing. Use me. Maybe the Lord is using you, but there's a next dimension that you need to go into. The dimension of authority, dominion, and power. And before you say yes to that, I tell you, it's a sacrifice life. It's a life you're going to have to place on the altar. As Paul says in Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to obtain yourselves a living sacrifice. What is the living sacrifice that's in this place tonight? Come on, if you're a living sacrifice, would you lift your hand? A living sacrifice. Jesus. Come on, nobody to look around. Hold every eye to be on Jesus tonight. Oh, the lover of my soul. I don't want to boast in my love for Him because I can't. But I want to tell you, I love Him with every ounce of my being. And He loves you so much. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. Meko promoki tandra mani. Meko kondri gneba maso teba. So Holy Spirit, we give you right to move in this place of power. Touch everyone, every heart, every life. What I'm saying now is not gonna break the flow. I put great emphasis on the presence of God here for a simple fact. You can have all the word in the world. If there's no presence, there's nothing. The presence of God is what you need tonight. And we are hungry for that presence. My soul longs for you. Oh, my spirit desires. Come on, ask the church, lift those voices. I want you to start to pray in this place. Come on, lift those voices. Start to pray. If you want to see the book of Acts coming alive, we have to do what they did. I want you to start to pray. Come on, don't be shy. Are you still shy to pray? Don't be shy. Lift those voices. It's your weapon. You have to do something tonight you've never done before. That woman with the issue of blood did something she's never done before.